Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I kind of got elected to teach this morning by default. I was supposed to teach next weekend. And it was funny. I was having a hard time getting started on Sunday in a lesson. Couldn't get started. I got a frantic call on Friday saying, can you teach Sunday? So, and I've had one day to put this thing together. So, once again, I will pray for you. Okay, we're talking about Enoch this week. Remember, you got to keep something in mind. The Bible is not a book about people. It's a book about God. It is how God has chosen to reveal himself to the world. Our studies of faith in Hebrews 11 are not simply studies of men's lives, of these men's lives, but the study of these men's lives should bring us to a better understanding of the heart of God. Okay? Everything in this book is supposed to teach you, point you to Jesus Christ, every last bit of it. This week we come to a man named Enoch. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. It's a peculiar thing that it says about Enoch, that he walked with God. And one day when he was walking with God, God took him home. God took him home, straight to heaven. Didn't have to die. Sounds amazing, right? Sounds incredible. Sounds unbelievable. Well, obviously you had better believe it, because if you are a child of God, you may one day do that very same thing. Be walking through your day, going through your day, and then poof, on your way to heaven. Don't have to die. Don't have to go through any of those brutal steps of dying. You know, isn't that our blessed hope, the rapture? You know, that's what we're all kind of sitting around waiting for. Some of us, the closer and older we get, the more we're looking forward to it, day in and day out. Just, Lord, anytime, anytime. One day, Jesus will return and take us all home. If you are a child of God, you should be very much looking forward to this, to the rapture. We look forward to this by faith. We wait in faith for this very moment. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The object of our faith is obviously the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And faith in Christ enables us to enjoy things that are unseeable, things that you can't see, to take joy and pleasure in things that are invisible. By the way, like I said, this lesson was put together pretty fast, so if I end about 20 minutes early, don't let it bother you. It allows us to take joy and pleasure in things that are invisible. You know, to see God work in a person's life, to bring them to Christ. There are invisible things going on all over the place that we understand is happening. Knowing there are lots of things going on behind the scenes that's going to make that happen, to bring that soul to Christ. To see the Holy Spirit work in a believer's life, like to help them grow. To comfort them as they're going through a valley. To see His Word come to life right in front of you. Invisible things that no human eye can see. Those begin to be the things that we can take joy in and appreciate and take pleasure in. Because they're real to us. They're real to us by faith. It's a biblical faith. We now come to meet the man Enoch in the book of Genesis. Let's go to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. We really don't know much about Enoch, honestly. But what we do know is pretty cool. It's exciting. Genesis chapter 5, verse 18. And Jared is his father, obviously. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 100 years and begat sons and daughters. All the days of Jared were 162 years, and he died. Verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Excuse me. Oh, my stomach's been gurgling all morning. It's going to be one of those days, I can tell. This is all we have about Enoch, basically. About four verses. Just not a lot. There are a couple other things here and there to help flesh out the picture, but this is all we have. But he turns out to be one of the more interesting and more fascinating Bible characters. It's amazing. Only God can say something about so many people in just so few verses. We know a few things. We know that he sired Methuselah and then he walked with God. Later on, we learn that he was a prophet also. He prophesied of the second coming. And maybe, I'm conjecturing here, maybe, just maybe, he prophesied about coming judgment, like a flood. He would have been before the flood. Now, this is where we can really have some fun with the Bible. If you do a little math, and you look at the Bible timeline from the time Adam is created until the flood, you can see that during the life of Enoch, through all 365 years, 65 years had Methuselah and lived another 300, 365 years, all of his forefathers, Adam, Seth, Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch's son Methuselah and his grandson Lamech. Lamech was Noah's father. Every one of his forefathers, grandson, son and grandson, they all saw him born and they're all still there when he went to heaven. Every one of them. Enoch went to heaven before Adam even died. Roughly about 20 years before Adam even died. This all happened. So all his forefathers were there. He could talk and speak to every one of them. For 308 years, he and Adam existed together. He could spend time with Adam. Think about how cool this would be to do. He could spend time with Adam. He could hear all about the Garden of Eden, what a wonderful place it was, what a wonderful time it was. He could hear the story of Eve and the serpent. He could hear that story about how sin came into the world and of Adam and Eve being thrown out of the garden. Of being able to walk in the garden with God during the cool of the day. I mean, how sweet would that be? He could hear about that. He could hear the story of God creating all the animals and how Adam named them. That would in itself would be just fascinating. He could hear the story of how God made a woman and brought him to Adam. He could hear that firsthand from Adam. There was no Bible back then. There wasn't. So let's just take a moment here. Well, we hardly know anything at all about Seth and Enos and Canaan, Mahalalel and Jared. But it says something about the rewards of faithfulness. Yes. Their testimony, their lives, their willingness to pass on knowledge of God, firsthand knowledge of God. Since, frankly, it was a big thing that they all had in common. Parents taught their children about God, about his ways, about knowing him. Some could tell more than others, like Adam. And they could all sit at Adam's feet and learn firsthand about walking with God. Keep in mind, Adam lived long enough to see the devastating effect of sin on the world that he had a direct hand in starting. Then something happens. Just think about this. Enoch lives 65 years and then something happens. The Bible seems to hint that Enoch did not walk with God until after Methuselah was born. Something happened to him when Methuselah was born. Now keep in mind, his son's name was Methuselah. We all know that he's the one who lived 969 years. The longest living person in the Bible ever, as far as we know. But that's not what's really that important. I think his name means something. And most Bible scholars seem to think it's his name that reveals something about him. It can mean a couple of things. It means a man of the dart or the spear, something like that. That could mean judgment. Or it also could be translated, he shall send his death. There's some debate about this. But the name isn't as much important. It seems to be prophetic. But the reason everybody tries to read something into his name is really easy to understand. We have no idea what happened at that time that caused Enoch to get right with God. We really don't know. We assume it has something directly to do with Methuselah. But something happened, and Methuselah was born, Enoch got right, and he walked with God from there on out. like I said, we can guess, but the results are there. Now let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11 real quick. The results are there for all to see. We talk in Galatians about, you see by my works. You can see my faith by my works. Which way am I going here? New Testament, right? Okay. I've got the Bible that I love to teach out of, and it's been a while. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, the Bible, when you read through it and I pick verses here, it needs to be understood in its context, all right? It's the best way to have Bible, clear Bible understanding, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It is no accident that verse 5 says that Enoch pleased God, and verse 6 says that without faith it is impossible to please God. Enoch was clearly a man of faith. Enoch clearly pleased God. Enoch walked with God. The same way that Adam did arm in arm in the garden, probably not. I would hazard to say probably not. But he lived in faith and he maintained a daily walk with God. And it's funny, as part of his walk with God, he prophesied of Jesus' second coming. Go to Jude. Real quick, just a couple of books to the right. Just before Revelation. Somewhere. Verses 14 and 15. Speaking of Enoch. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, he was the seventh man in the line, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Enoch, don't sugarcoat it. Let us know what you really think. He's quite an outspoken individual. This shows a couple of things. Like Job, who was around not many years later, if you looked at the timelines, he was just before Abraham. Like Job, and you're going to wonder how this happens, he actually knew his doctrine. He knew his New Testament doctrine, Old Testament doctrine. He knew God's doctrine, God's teaching, God's way. Neither one of them had a Bible, but they both understood New Testament doctrine. In fact, his trip to heaven is a perfect picture of the rapture. You know what else is really cool? It just goes to show. You can waste years of your life on yourself in sin, in disobedience to God. And God can still change you, and you can still walk with him for the rest of your life. There is hope. You can still learn of him. You can still be used by him. You can still please him. And I think we're going to finish really, really early. Yes, there is hope. For every one of us, there is hope. You know, these days, a lot of people are doing things for God in churches. They're very, very busy. Even in our churches, there are a lot of things being done, and God is not involved. This is one of the curses of big churches. People come in and they just do things by duty. They put them to work, and you know, they don't wait for somebody to be clearly called to something. They put in the work and get them serving and get them involved and get them part of the ministry. But a lot of it, God's not involved. And it's not being done by faith. Turn to Romans chapter 14. I'll try to slow down and stretch things out here just a bit. I tend to speak very quickly. The words come from my brain to my mouth very, very quickly in a big rush, and that's why there's usually a traffic jam there. It happens. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. Here we go. Next page. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, in a nutshell, you know, we understand what faith is. It's obedience, and it's a response to the revealed word of God, the revealed will of God. It's our response to it. We walk by faith. We live in faith. we accept God's truth by faith. So many of these things are happening are not of faith. Because God has not directed it. God has not caused it. God has not asked for it, commanded it, led for it, whatever it is. People just doing things for God. And it's just God's not in it. And it's amazing how often you find that to be true. And as we read, without faith you cannot please God. Without faith you cannot walk with God like Enoch did. This is an important aspect of this to understand too. You cannot walk in faith, walk with God like Enoch did. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" You know, we talk about having the mind of Christ and being on the same page with God and understanding each other, understanding what God says about something and by faith accepting that and living that. We talk about that. And he says, two walk together except they be agreed. Since God cannot change, man has to change. That's kind of the thing with man, is that we're frail, finite creatures. You know, we're constantly just trying to get just a little bit better, trying to be a little bit more like Christ. It's this constant fight day in and day out in our Christian lives. So God, since God cannot change, we have to. Enoch obviously changed. Something caused this change. Enoch changed, and Enoch walked with God. They obviously agreed. They agreed. Enoch agreed with God about life, about money, about wealth, about home, family, friends. About holiness, about the godly life. You know, you're not walking with God if you're not holy. Period. You're not walking anywhere near His presence if you're not holy. It's just not happening. Enoch agreed. Something's happened and caused Enoch to get right, and he agreed. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1. I'm going to skip around a little bit, but there's a point. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." He talked about when you got saved. You were dead in trespasses and sins. He made you alive. Quickened means being made alive. This is talking about you getting saved. "So you hath he quickened, you hath he saved, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Talking about how you once walked. Okay. Verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." We're made alive, being brought into a relationship with Christ. Right? Speaking of your salvation again. "And has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Okay, you're still talking about your salvation. We're building on that theme, that idea. It says in verse 8, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." It's a work of God that God does in your life, okay? It's not something you can do, something you can generate, something you can gin up a little bit of that spirit and get it going. It's something that God has to do in your life, okay? He does all of this, and he does it for you. Let's see. Verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Not because of good works. We're saved to do good works, to represent Christ in this world. You can't do that walking like you walked before salvation. You must walk in those good works. It's the only way to truly represent God and Christ in the world. "Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We find walked in verse 10, we see walked in verse 2. We were walking one way, and now we walk another way. This is only possible through faith in God and in His Word. It's the only way this happens. You can't do this of yourself. You can't do this with some vague realization of a higher power or anything like that. This must be a direct work of the Holy Spirit in your life through Jesus Christ. It's the only way this is possible. And what He does is He changes you, and He changes your walk. You now have the things that you need to walk with God, if you really want to. There's no reason you really can't. Everything that you have, that you can have in the Christian life, you have in salvation. This is extra, so I don't need my notes. you know, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. You have the Bible to teach you. You have, hopefully you go to a decent church where God's led you to a decent church where you can be taught by godly people. And somebody will disciple you. You have everything that you need at the moment of salvation to live for God, to walk with God. You have everything. There's no excuse why you cannot do this. Everything, literally everything that you need, you have at salvation. It's an important thing to understand. Well, I just don't think that I can do this, or I just don't think I can do that, or blah, blah, blah. Baloney. The Bible says you have everything you need to walk with God from the moment of salvation. The only thing that has any bearing on it is your level of surrender, your level of obedience, your willingness to take God at His word. That's the only thing that separates you between you and Enoch. We could all be Enoch. Every one of us. Every one of these people in the back can be just like Enoch. The kids, the Sunshine class, every one of us can be just like Enoch, walk with God. God has given us everything that we need at the moment of salvation. You know, I don't know how to do it. You have a Bible. You have a Holy Spirit inside of you who's guiding you through that Bible. It's just your level of surrender and your level of obedience. It's the only thing that separates us. It's the only difference. It's really the only difference. I have completely lost my place. All right. Anyway, we were walking one way, and now we walk another. This is only possible through faith in God and His Word. This is a big deal. And so many of our struggles are not, you know, we don't struggle so much with Satan and with flesh and with the world. We really don't, if you think about it. You just sit back for a minute and think about this. We really don't struggle with all those things. Most of our struggles are with God Himself. Most of our struggles are with God Himself. Why is it that some people walk through Christian life the hard way? You know, they live in fear and they live in doubt. They live under the circumstances. Others do not worry. They do not fret. Why is that? Why do some trust God and attempt great things for God while others never really see God or do great things for Him? Why do you think that is? I don't know either. I've got to turn the page and look. It is because they have never determined to live by faith. They've never surrendered to God, to God's way of doing things. They've never made that step. They never surrendered to God and agreed to do life God's way. We need to surrender and agree with Him about how to live in this world, about how to grow, about how to do things His way. It is then and only then that we can walk with Him. It is then and only then. And it's kind of funny how the Lord has set it up. The Lord has designed the Christian life so that when we walk in His favor and glorify Him, it brings us joy also. He gives us joy. The secret to our own joy and happiness and contentment is to please God first and foremost. You lack peace, you lack joy, you're trudging through your Christian life, get on the right page with God. Obey Him, surrender to Him. He will give you that joy and that peace and that contentment. You know, we talk about how tough it is to live for God today. You know, today we live in a wicked world. I mean, this. Excuse me. It's just amazing how much the world has changed since I was a kid. And I'm 50 years old. Creation is about 6,000 years, Just in those little 50 years, it's changed incredibly, exponentially. But we talk about how tough it is to live today. You know, don't forget, not long after Enoch left, God judged the world with a worldwide flood. Genesis 6:5 said, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination or the thought of his heart was only evil continuously." The world was a wicked place. And it got there fast. The flood was roughly 1,600 years after creation. It got bad. It went bad fast. Enoch lived in a very, very wicked world. Probably worse than ours is today. in a society that was rapidly being polluted and destroyed by sin. And it's sad, Adam got to see quite a bit of it. He got to live it firsthand. He got to understand what price the world is paying for his disobedience. So in a society that was being rapidly polluted and destroyed by sin, Enoch walked with God and he kept his life clean. There were not many of God's people around for support. We think it was just the godly bloodline that was worth anything at all spiritually in those days. There weren't many people around for, you know, not a lot of support groups, not a lot of big Sunday school classes or anything like that. There was not much. But somehow, some way, he walked with God. And what's really cool is he walked with God in public. You can tell that he was changed. You can tell that he was different. Go back to Jude. If I can find it here. Jude, verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their harsh speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. You think he was changed by his walk with God? You know, he's walking in the world that he's, and he can see it right out his front door. You can see the world right out his front door and just see how wicked it is, how ungodly it is. He was obviously touched by it. And I'm sure this was not the only prophesying that he did or the only preaching that he did. He must have, like Noah. Noah preached for 120 years and got absolutely no converts. It was a wicked, wicked world. What's interesting, though, is that spending time with God, like he did, helped him to see the world as it really was. This is cool. It caused him to see the world as it really was. Ezekiel chapter 14. Let's go to Ezekiel. As I was I started studying for next week's lesson, I was kind of excited to do something about Noah, because Noah is one of the, what I call one of God's three favorite people. And you'll see what I mean by it. It says this about Job, it says this about Daniel, it says this about Noah. Ezekiel 14. Now he's talking about here, he's going to judge Israel. He's fed up with their sins. He's fed up with the idolatry. It's getting really, really old. The Lord's sweet relationship with the nation of Israel is nothing but a stink in his nose these days. He's going to judge Israel. This is what he's talking about here. He's going to judge Israel. And it's so bad. Verse 14, he says, that though these three men, Noah and Daniel and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. Verse 15, if I cause noisome beasts to pasture the land, and they spoil it, so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beasts. Though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. What he's saying is, it's so bad that even though my three favorite men, Noah, Job, and Daniel, they're holy and righteous, they could not save this land. They would be the only ones who would come. All right? So keep in mind, I call these guys God's three favorite guys. All right? I'm a fan of Job, by the way, if anybody here doesn't know that. I'm a fan of Job. Very much a fan of Job. And I will defend him. He's saying the world was so bad that even though these three guys were there, he would still judge Israel, wipe them out. They were his favorites. But, if you think about it, they were his favorites. But only one did God take home with him, and that was Enoch. And that's the only one did God actually come down and take him home with him, and that was Enoch. Enoch pleased God. Enoch walked with God. I mean, how cool is that? You know, he has an extraordinarily high opinion of Noah and Daniel and Job, all great men of faith who did incredible, mighty, powerful things for God. And they were holy. And God suggested they could have survived in this society. They could have, they would have been holy and righteous, even in a society that bad. But only one did God actually come down and take home with him, and that was Enoch. That was Enoch. You know, you can never hear enough about that. Enoch was a witness and a good testimony in a very, very wicked world. I keep looking back to the timeline. We had Adam and everybody through to Enoch, to Methuselah, to Lamech. They were all there. They all got to see Enoch walk with God. They all could have been a part of it. They all could have done the same thing. Adam got to see him walk with God. They were all there when he was taken to heaven. They were all still there. But only Enoch, out of all that godly line, was the one that pleased God, and God came down and took him home. He was an effective witness and a good testimony in a very, very wicked world. The Bible is a book about God. As we go through this 13-week series, we're going to be looking at each man, each person, and their lives, and see what made them special, what set them apart from everybody else. It's going to be faith. The Bible's not about those men's lives, though. But the Bible's about God and how God worked through these men's lives. How these men allowed God to work through their lives. How they partnered with God to glorify Him. These are illustrations of how we can live the reality of God's doctrine in everyday life. Pray that God help us to do that. Let's pray.